There really is like a Godfather 3 going on with the LeBron to the Cavs stuff, which is just when I think it's over, it pulls me back in. And obviously this continued standoff with LeBron and the Lakers is getting to a point where there's a real you-know-what or get-off-the-pot moment here for both parties. And I think it's kind of fascinating because I think LeBron should be getting a lot more credit for what he's trying to steer into, which is, hey, I understand you want to build for the future. Last year in half a season, Luka and I went from out of the playoff race to the 3 seed. Give us the tools to try and win this year, as opposed to the Lakers, who are like, hey, we've got Luka for the future, and that's all that really matters.
So that's where the impasse comes, is that they're, the Lakers are doing everything without even consulting LeBron, without even having LeBron in the picture at all. And I think what bothers LeBron the most, and for the first time in his life, nobody cares what he thinks in this equation.
So, but I think he's right, because to me, he's erring on the side of, I want to win championships.
Well, is he erring on the side of I want to win championships, or is he recognizing that the Lakers aren't opening up the door and saying, here, we want to welcome you, and we want you here for as long as you want to be here?
So I think that's part of it. And I do think, like, I think it's probably more complex than either of us are. But I think if you start to put it together, I think you do have the picture here.
I mean, based off of some of the reporting we had from, like, Ramona Shelburne and that ESPN piece where they all met together. I think the restaurant's name was Max's in L.A., and they all met together. The same thing that they've been doing with LeBron. It's Pelinka, it's JJ Redick, and they're all sitting there and they're all like ready to put together the team and the ownership's there as well. And they're trying to drive everyone forward, and Luka gets the invite and LeBron doesn't get the invite. And LeBron's not involved. Where in years past, LeBron had been involved. Everything down to the lack of a willingness to sign anything more than just a 1-year deal and the 1-year opt-in. Like, they're telling LeBron they're tired of LeBron.
And here's the thing. I do think it speaks to a Lakers organization that maybe isn't, I can understand not wanting to commit future money because you're going to be able to reset the table in a year or two with Luka in a way that's going to maximize his window.
Well, you think at this point, by the way, too. I don't even know that that's a guarantee now at this point.
That's actually a really good point of, like, we'll see what talent's actually out there. But the same point.
More the idea that it's not a given that Luka just automatically signs that massive extension and keeps this thing going. Like, if you would have told me 2 months ago, I would have said, for sure, Luka signs the extension. He wants to be in L.A. He wants to do this. I don't know. Maybe next year at this time, when he's up for the max everything, maybe he's like, playing in San Antonio's cooler. You haven't done enough.
Yeah, and which is interesting. Luka's never really given us. I mean, I know he flexed his authority a little bit with Dallas. I just continue to come back to, I know everyone's tired of the way LeBron does things, like the passive aggressive stuff. He was on the Summer League coverage over the weekend. I'm not here to talk about that. That kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
At the same point, what other athlete do people actively get pissed at because he wants clarity on his future? And more importantly, he's like, hey, we can win the championship now.
Well, he's been owed something that the Lakers just aren't willing to give him right now. But I think, and I'm sure you think the same way, that, like, he's afforded an ability to basically do whatever he wants and should be able to call every shot. He's just not having that right now. Like, I read Bill Plaschke earlier today. Plaschke's whole piece was built around the final lesson LeBron should learn should be taken from Kobe. And that Kobe refused to do a whole going away party and going away tour until he didn't. And once he embraced the going away tour, then he got to be idolized in every city, and he found out he really loved that, and that was a thing. And it's like, how is this the conversation? Yeah. Like, LeBron was always able to call his shot. He should be able to call out when he's done playing, not have Plaschke say he needs to do a Kobe-esque farewell tour.
And this is where the Lakers might be overestimating their leverage and their abilities. It's really impossible to change the circumstances, meaning pull power away from a global icon who's still very much a top 20 basketball player. It's really tough to do that and get what you want out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where, like, you're changing the terms of the agreement. LeBron isn't. And even though a lot of guys in the NBA might not be the biggest LeBron fans because LeBron has exercised his power for so long and yada, yada, yada. The reality is, everyone's paying attention to what you're doing with this LeBron thing. And I don't think the Lakers are prepared for what happens if you don't do this the right way. And there's really, at this point, there are three outcomes. There's a trade. which is almost impossible given how many teams are in the second apron or approaching the apron and how you would have to redo this. I think Miami can do it, which might make sense. I think the Knicks can, but everyone, while you're trying to do this, by the way, everybody's waiting for the Giannis shoe to drop one way or another.
Right.
The second thing is you patch things up for the good of the kids and you do this year. And that's probably the most likely thing that will happen, even though it's going to be an uneasy detente and might even spike trade rumors by February. The third thing, which I honestly think makes sense for everyone and not just because it benefits you and me, is work on a buyout where LeBron still gets most of his money, but you don't have to deal with a headache, and you can you can put everything into the Luka basket this year, see how far it can take you, and then reset. When the money resets a year from now, and when you re-sign him in a year from now, and LeBron could go on his merry way and sign wherever he wants for the league minimum or mid-level exception.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be right to find some sort of trade, though. I mean, like it's amazing how the buyout is even an option at this point. That would be doing LeBron a big service, but if I'm the Lakers, I want something for this. Oh. LeBron was sixth in MVP voting last year.
So, but what I think is funny is, because I agree with you, this should be, but I think LeBron's smart enough to go, you didn't play ball with me, I'm not playing ball with you. Because he has the no movement clause.
Yeah, he does.
But so I think he has, because here's the thing, I think LeBron has proven over time, his will out. Like, it will win. And I think getting into a passive aggressive off LeBron with LeBron James is like getting into a fist fight with Mike Tyson in 1987. I just think it's ill-advised.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what would happen if he actually said, hey, I'm going to force you to do this. There's so much value in LeBron. And I look at, again, sixth in MVP voting last year. Like, there's so much here. But ultimately, do you think it's actually going to happen? Because that's the hard part I can't get over. For every dreamed up scenario that we go through, I have a hard time thinking he's doing anything but play with the Lakers. But I'll say this. This was the most contentious and the most one-sided that I've felt about this in the entire stretch of talking about Lakers and LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, this is shades of LeBron and Pat Riley passive aggressively warring for his last little bit there in Miami. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah,
except one of them's not Pat Riley.
Well, and LeBron still has had a lot of leverage at that point. Where I just don't know that LeBron has the same leverage. I wish we had more clarity on LeBron's timeline, but LeBron doesn't even know what his timeline is.
I also think. I love that you're pushing this to the LeBron thing, because I've talked a lot about the Lakers side of this. I also would love to know, all right, if it's not winning a title, competing for a title, them cluing you in on their moves, them going all in on 2025, 2026, what's B? Like, what if you can't get the make? Because everybody out there knows there's a. There's what you'd like to have happen. I do think for LeBron, I still think he'd prefer to stay in L.A. And whether it's finish out his career here, at least finish out this contract in L.A. I'd love to know what his B is. I'd really love to know what that thing that he's willing to pivot towards is.
If he had a B, we'd already find out what it was, right? I don't know that he's dreamed it up at this point. Or maybe he has in the past couple weeks. But
I'd be very surprised if LeBron doesn't know. Him and his crew are so thought out well in advance. I mean, him.
Yeah, but that's usually when they're calling the shots, though. Because usually you're right. They're so thought out and they're so prepared, and they've got they're the kingmakers. They're the one. They're dictating the chessboard. They're seeing how the pieces go. But for the first time in LeBron's career, he's trying to move the pieces, and there's resistance there. There's people saying, "No, you're not the one playing the game. I'm playing the game."
I still think he's in power. I think he has a chance to really make that situation incredibly uncomfortable. And if he does drop a trade demand, I don't know that in a lot of years, a guy like that can drop a trade demand and walk back. I think if it gets to that point, it's over. And when I say it's over, I mean the Lakers are very likely to lose LeBron for either expiring contracts or maybe you save $10 million in a buyout.
I mean, you see how the Lakers aren't really crying over that scenario, though? Like, oddly enough, they're willing to just say, LeBron, you're not in our future plans. We don't think we're going to win anything this next year. And so it just is what it is, which, I don't know. The more and more I think about it, the idea that LeBron, if he plays anywhere to what he was last year, and then you pair that with Luka, and I'm not going to make DeAndre Ayton awesome. It's a flawed team. But if you can't get Luka and LeBron to work, yeah, maybe you should just pack it in general.
Yeah, I think, there was a report by Dave McMenamin over the weekend. We don't have time for the audio, but the Cavs were one of four teams to call about LeBron. I think that immediately says some of our fears about would Dan Gilbert want it, would Donovan want it, those at the very least they checked in. And two, I do think that if this does ever get to a point, I think the only way it happens is if LeBron gets a buyout in LA. But we thought, LeBron, Donovan, Evan, LaDon Evan, as people have called it.
Yeah, some people have done that.
That's a championship. If LeBron came back on the vet men, it would be his narrative. We always talk about, okay, how can Donovan win on the narrative front? If he gets most of his money from LA in a buyout, plus...
But I don't think he can look at it that way. Well, all right, how much of the money does he get from the buyout? Because I still need to know how much he makes for the upcoming season.
Let's say it's $30 million. So more than half. Oh, wait, no. Let's say $35 million because that's more than half.
Okay, then that's fine. We can play with that. Because there is the idea out there that LeBron, again, he was sixth in MVP voting last year. He looked better than Steph did last year. He looked better than Durant did last year. Like, all these other guys aren't getting penalized financially the way that we're asking LeBron to be penalized.
But if this is a big if, and it should be said, I think it's the second most likely thing to happen, but I think the most likely thing to happen is LeBron in LA long term. But if LeBron were to get a buyout and come to Cleveland, join this team as constructed, and in his 23rd year, win his fifth title on a vet min contract, which has always been the knock on LeBron since he went to Miami, is he's never going to take another low-cut deal again, right?
Right.
I think it might be the only way to supercharge his legacy in a completely different way. Because it's the vet min, it's joining an established team, it would be coming back to Cleveland, but this time you're doing it for the fans, for the fan base, which you can spin it on a vetmin deal. And oh, by the way, winning a championship would also prove the Lakers foolish for not chasing a championship with LeBron and Luka.
And this ultimately is the best story and storyline. Yeah. I really do believe that. I think it's a better storyline than the Knicks. And we've talked about how much attention you get with the Knicks and breaking that 50-year deal that they haven't won a title with. But like, this is the fairy book ending. And he knows that. He's a story guy.
216-474-0092. The Cavs are one of four teams to call about LeBron. Big deal, little deal, or no deal. More to come in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.